Hey, welcome to the Sermon Podcast for Cornerstone Community Church in Galax, Virginia. This week, Chris shares a message about baptism. What is baptism and why is it important? We invite you to listen in and learn more about why we follow in the steps of Christ when we're baptized. If you want to find out more about Cornerstone, visit us online at mycornerstone.org.
Well, good morning. Welcome to Cornerstone. Welcome if you're watching online. I forgot to welcome people online in first service, so forgive me for that, but I also forgot to ask if I needed to make any announcements this morning, so I was reminded by my wife that I did not make this announcement, but they're good for that, right? So tonight is youth kickoff. Fifth and sixth grade will start at 5 o'clock, and that is here, right, in the new building. So at the new building at 5 o'clock, fifth and sixth grade. 7th through 12th grade will meet after that at 6:30, also at the new building. I'm not sure which one I want to go to worse because 5th and 6th are having tacos, and 7th and 12th, it says cookout. I don't know what they're cooking out, but it's probably going to be good. So if you're in that age group, we invite you to come to that. It's been a crazy week, right? If you got kids that are in school or whatever school is now. It's been a little crazy. Been a wild morning as well. We had kids back in first service downstairs. That's good. Good that we can open up. Brandy's been working really hard on that, and as well as many other people. But it's good to have kids back in service. So this morning you get to hear from me. There's a few reasons for that. One reason that I'm up here is Mike asked for a break. He's preached for like 13 weeks in a row or something like that, and that's a little bit stressful. I have a hard enough time speaking one week in a row, so I understand how he can need a break. There's two reasons for the topic that I'm preaching on this morning, which is baptism. One is that we plan to have a baptism here soon. We kind of were thinking next week. We got a few people that want to be baptized, and then so we were thinking next week, but we're not real sure yet. So if you're one of those people who have said you'd like to be baptized, or if you decide after today or sometime in the next few weeks, just stay tuned. We'll keep you informed of when that's going to happen. The second reason why I'm talking about baptism is because a few weeks ago I got involved in a little, I guess you'd call it a Facebook debate. There was a post about something about baptism, and someone I don't even know commented and said something that I was like, I don't really know if scripture or I agree with that. So we got into this little back and forth debate a little bit. So I had to refresh my memory on what Mike preached about several weeks ago on social faith and how we should act towards each other on social media, not blast each other, but just, you know, give my point of view and what I saw from scripture. So we did that, and then finally, after several back and forths, I finally said, you know what, I'm just going to have to bow out. You're never going to agree with me. I'm never going to agree with you. So we're just going to call it at that. So I politely said, thank you to the person, and said, thank you for making me look deeper into scripture and learn more about where I get my faith from, and not just take what I've been told or been taught, but to look deeper into scripture and realize that what I believe is what's clearly spelled out in scripture. So then Mike asked Eugene and I a couple weeks ago, he's like, so I want to take a break. Anybody want to, one of you guys want to preach? So I thought perfect time to talk about baptism because I'd been, you know, digging into the scriptures and learning more about it and just reinforcing what I knew to be true and what I knew to be scriptural about baptism. So we're going to attempt to go through a few questions. I got like five questions that lay out different questions about baptism and kind of point to scripture and where Cornerstone gets their belief about baptism and where it's built from scripture. So all that being said, I got a ton of scripture to read through. So just bear with me as we read through some of these. I'll try to slow down when I get to some of the ones that aren't on the slides. So if you're taking notes, you can write those down. So I have a gift of speeding through things and don't think about giving people time to process. So I'll try to slow down a little bit. So first question, what is baptism? So baptism is a public declaration of our unity with Christ. It's a way for us to identify with Christ and say, I'm a believer, I follow Jesus, and I'm proving that through this public display of baptism. And to read from scripture a little bit here, this is a pretty long passage from Romans 6, verses 1 through 11. It says, well then, should we keep on sinning so that God can show us more and more of his wonderful grace? Of course not. Since we have died to sin, how can we continue to live in it? Or have you forgotten that when we joined with Christ Jesus in baptism, we joined him in his death? For we died and were buried with Christ by baptism. And just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glorious power of the Father, now we also may live new lives. Since we have been united with him in his death, we will also be raised to life as he was. We know that our old sinful selves were crucified with Christ so that sin might lose its power in our lives. We are no longer slaves to sin, for when we died with Christ, we were set free from the power of sin. And since we died with Christ, we know we will always live with him. We are sure of this because Christ was raised from the dead, and he will never die again. Death no longer has any power over him. When he died once to break the power of sin, but now that he lives for the glory of God. So you also should consider yourselves to be dead to the power of sin and alive to God through Christ Jesus. So we see there, if you back up into verse 3, it says, have you forgotten that we were joined with Christ Jesus in baptism? We joined him in his death. So it's just that's an outward public declaration that we are united with Christ, that we were baptized into Jesus. We joined him in his death. And then, as it says there, we no longer are slaves to sin because of that. And one point that, you know, came, the main point that I was debating with this person on Facebook was they made the statement that baptism was required for salvation. So, you know, we believe and we see in Scripture that baptism is not salvation. It's not what saves you. Your faith in Jesus is what saves you, right? We all know John 3:16, for those who believe will have eternal life. Romans 10, verses 9 through 13, I'll read that too. It says, if you openly declare that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So it doesn't say if you believe plus baptized, you're baptized, you'll be saved. It says if you believe that you'll be saved. For it is by believing in your heart that you are made right with God, and it is by openly declaring your faith that you are saved. As the Scriptures tell us, anyone who trusts in him will never be disgraced. Jew and Gentile are the same in this respect. They have the same Lord who gives generously to all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. So again, it doesn't say if you believe and are baptized, belief plus this. It says if you believe, if you call on the Lord, you'll be saved. And we see this over and over in Scripture, that if we add anything to faith, that it's not the gospel, right? We can't, it's nothing that we can do to earn salvation. Ephesians chapter 2, we all probably know that one. Most of us probably know that one. Ephesians 2, 8, where it says that we're saved by grace alone. It's nothing we can do, so we can't boast about it. In Romans 3, 28, it also says that we hold that one is justified by faith apart from works of the law. It says we're justified by faith alone. That's Romans 3:28. Romans 5:1 says, therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God. Again, it's by faith that we're justified. Romans chapter 4, verse 5 says, to the one who does not work, but believes in him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is counted as righteousness. Again, we see it over and over. Our faith is what saves us. Faith in Jesus alone. Nothing that we can do. So if we say that we have to be baptized in order to be saved, then we negate all those verses of Scripture. And there's many more that I didn't necessarily bring out here. And, you know, if you think about, I've read a point about this too, is if you say that baptism is required, then you're saying that your belief is dependent on someone else because you can't baptize yourself, right? There has to be two people there. So it kind of negates all of what the gospel says if you say that it is required for salvation. So Scripture does say that if you have been saved, then you need to be baptized. It doesn't say that in order to be saved, you need to be baptized. In John 5:24, Jesus says, those who listen to my message and believe in God who sent me have eternal life. They will never be condemned for their sins, but they have already passed from death into life. So again, there's if you believe. And salvation doesn't happen when we're baptized or because we're baptized. The baptism is just a representation of that. It's just a declaration that, hey, I believe in Jesus. I'm joining the family of believers. I'm going to be baptized to show that. And that's one reason why here at Cornerstone we practice what we call believer's baptism. All these scriptures that we see point to you must believe before you're baptized. So that's one of the things that we require. If you're going to be baptized, we require that you have put your faith in Jesus, that you believe that he died for your sins, and that through him you can have eternal life. So it's just a celebration of what's happened internally, that we've been made right by what Jesus did on the cross, by nothing that we've done, not because we've been dunked underwater by somebody. It's just an external celebration of the internal transformation. And if you're baptized before you believed, then you basically just went for a swim, right? So you didn't really do anything if you didn't believe. Baptism is really just a picture of the gospel. It tells a story, right? It tells a story of Jesus being buried. He was dead. He was raised to life again. He was washed clean. Same with us. We're buried. We're raised to life again. And we're washed clean by what Jesus did on the cross. It's just a picture of that. And, you know, I love history. I love looking at old pictures and looking at old things and just thinking about, you know, where did this come from? Who used this item? Or looking at the picture and saying, man, it would have been so cool to be there whenever this was done. Like if you go into Briar Patch or Smokehouse down here downtown, there's all these pictures of things that happened in Galax, or there's items that take you back. And I love looking at those things. I look at a picture and I try to look at all the details and think, man, what would it have been like to actually be there and see this happening? If we go into a restaurant that has things like that, even Cracker Barrel, I'm sitting there looking at the walls and I'm pointing out stuff to Brandy, like, hey, look at this. This is so cool. I'm like a kid in a candy store. And she's like, I don't care. But for whatever reason, I think about, you know, it must have been really adventurous, right? If you look back, I'm from Freeze, so I look back at pictures of the old mill when it was being built and different things that happened many, many years ago, and I'm like, man, it would have just been so cool to be there. It had to feel like an adventure, but to the people that actually were there, it's probably like, this is not really adventurous, it's just life, right? It's kind of like today, they're just living life. But if we look back, it's something about it just makes me, I don't know, makes me feel adventurous for whatever reason. I'll ride my bike down the trail and I think about what it must have been like for the train to be there. If I'd have seen the train, and some of you guys probably had seen the train when it was coming through into Galax, and you're like, yeah, it's not really that big a deal. It's just a train. But for whatever reason, I'm like, man, it'd been so cool just to be able to ride from Galax to Freeze or Galax to Pulaski or whatever on a train. But why I say that and why I'm telling you this is that baptism is just like a picture. When you look at a picture of something that happened, it's not as meaningful as if you were actually there, right? If you were actually in that moment, it's a lot different than what you see in the picture. It's not the true thing. It's just a representation or illustration of what happened. So that's what we get with baptism. It's just a picture of what's happened internally. It doesn't do justice, right? You hear that all the time. This picture doesn't do justice to what I really saw or what really happened. So baptism really doesn't do justice to what's happened internally. It's a life change. It's like we've said, we're putting the old life to death and then we're raised to life, a new life, and washed clean through the blood of Jesus. So, you know, that's kind of a strange analogy, but I thought it fit well. You know, pictures are just a representation. They're not the true thing. They can only do so much to say what really happened. So we're going to move on to the next question about baptism. Why should I be baptized? So a few places in Scripture that kind of point to why we should be baptized. One reason is to follow Christ's example. We see that Jesus was baptized in Matthew chapter 3, verses 5 through 17. I want to read through this. Matthew 3, starting in verse 5. People from Jerusalem and from all of Judea and all over the Jordan Valley went out to see and hear John. And when they confessed their sins, he baptized them in the Jordan River. But when he saw many Pharisees and Sadducees coming to watch him baptize, he denounced them. You brood of snakes, he exclaimed, who warned you to flee the coming wrath? Prove by the way you live that you have repented of your sins and turned to God. Don't just say to each other, we're safe, for we are descendants of Abraham. That means nothing, for I tell you, God can create children of Abraham from these very stones. Even now, the axe of God's judgment is poised, ready to sever the roots of the trees. Yes, every tree that does not produce good fruit will be chopped down and thrown into the fire. I baptize with water those who repent of their sins and turn to God. But someone is coming soon who is greater than I am, so much greater that I am not even worthy to be his slave and carry his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. He is ready to separate the chaff from the wheat and with his winnowing fork. Then he will clean up the threshing area, gathering the wheat into his barn, but burning the chaff with never-ending fire. Then Jesus went from Galilee to the Jordan River to be baptized by John. But John tried to talk him out of it. I'm the one who needs to be baptized by you, he said. So why are you coming to me? But Jesus said, it should be done, for we must carry out all that God requires. So John agreed to baptize him. After his baptism, as Jesus came up out of the water, the heavens were opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and setting on him. And a voice from heaven said, this is my dearly loved Son, who brings me great joy. So, all that being said, we're supposed to follow the example of Jesus. Jesus was baptized. If you look back here, it kind of reinforces some of what I've already been saying too. If you look back, let me find it here. In verse 6, it says, and they confessed their sins. He baptized them in the Jordan River. It says they confessed, so they believe first. They confessed their sins, and then he baptized them. If you go down here, you see Jesus comes to John, and he says, you need to baptize me. And John's like, wait a minute. I just finished telling all these people that I'm not even worthy to carry your sandals, and now you want me to baptize you. But Jesus says, yes, this is what God requires. So that's one reason why we should be baptized, is to follow Jesus' example. Another reason is to obey the command of Christ. You see in Matthew 28, Jesus said, go and make disciples. And what's the next word? Baptizing them. Jesus said, go and make disciples, baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. So that's one reason why we should be baptized, because Jesus commanded it. Another reason is so that we show our unity with Christ and with the body of Christ. Like I said, in the first question we answered was to show that we're unified with Christ and with the body of Christ. In 1 Corinthians 12, verse 12, says, for just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Jesus Christ. For in one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one Spirit. For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. So here we see that we're unified with the body of Christ, because it says, for in one Spirit we were baptized into one body. We're all baptized into the body of believers. We become part of that family. I joke about this and relate this to once you're baptized and you've joined the family of believers, you get a bunch of crazy in-laws. So we're not that crazy, but we're kind of crazy. But another verse that points to this, another passage, is in Ephesians chapter 4, starting in verse 3. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all, through all, and in all. So you see there again, we're joined with the one body through baptism. In Acts 19, verses 4 to 5, it says, on hearing this, they were baptized into the name of the Lord Jesus. So again, we see we're baptized into the body, into the name of the Lord Jesus. Acts 8, verse 16. Again, I'm going to try to go slow, so if you're writing these down, you can get them. Acts chapter 8, verse 16 says, but they had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Or again, it's in the name of the Lord Jesus. We're uniting with Christ. Acts 10, 48. It says, and he commanded them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. So again, there we're being baptized in the name of Jesus. We're joining, we're unified with Christ, with the body of believers. And if we believe, if we're truly a believer and a follower of Christ, then we will want to be united with Christ, right? We want to be united with the body of believers. And one way to do that is through baptism. Next question we're going to try to answer is, who should be baptized? So we figured out what baptism is, why we should be baptized, and then who should be baptized. All who have been born again should be baptized. We see this throughout Scripture that baptism is essential for believers. It's not required for us to be saved, but it points us and says, if you're a believer, you've been saved, then you need to be baptized. In Acts chapter 2, starting in verse 36, it says, so let everyone in Israel know for certain that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, to be both Lord and Messiah. Peter's words pierced their hearts, and they said to him and to the other apostles, brothers, what should we do? Peter replied, each of you must repent of your sins and turn to God and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Then you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So you see here, it says that Peter's words pierced their hearts, and they said, what should we do? And then Peter says, repent and be baptized. He doesn't say repent and think about being baptized, or repent and pray about being baptized, or consider being baptized. He says repent and be baptized. So it's essential. It's not required for us to be saved, but it is very important that we follow through with being baptized. Next question about baptism is when should I be baptized? So if you look at Scripture, it kind of makes it clear that you should be baptized as soon as possible after you've professed faith in Jesus and decided that you want to follow Jesus. So as soon as possible. In Acts chapter 8, we'll see an example of this. Acts chapter 8, starting in verse 26. As for Philip, an angel of the Lord said to him, "Go south down the desert road that runs from Jerusalem to Gaza." So he started out, and he met the treasurer of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under the Candake, the queen of Ethiopia. The eunuch had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and he was now returning. Seated in his carriage, he was reading aloud from the book of the prophet Isaiah. The Holy Spirit said to Philip, "Go over and walk along beside the carriage." So Philip ran over. He heard the man reading from the prophet Isaiah, and Philip asked, "Do you understand what you're reading?" And the man replied, "How can I unless someone instructs me?" He urged Philip to come up into the carriage and sit with him. And the passage of Scripture he had been reading was this: "He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb is silent before the shearers. He did not open his mouth. He was humiliated and received no justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth." The eunuch asked Philip, "Tell me, what was the prophet talking about, himself or someone else?" So beginning with the same Scripture, Philip told him the good news about Jesus. And as they rode along, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, there's some water. Why can't I be baptized?" "You can," Philip answered, "if you believe with all your heart." And the eunuch replied, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." He ordered the carriage to stop, and they went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. So here's an example of as soon as you can, as soon as you profess faith in Christ. You see, the eunuch was sitting there reading the Scripture, and he didn't really understand it, and Philip explained it to him, and he said, "This is talking about Jesus, and this is what it means. He came, he lived a perfect life, he died for you, he died for your sins." And then the eunuch believed, and as soon as he saw some water, he's like, "Why can't I just go ahead and be baptized?" So Philip told him the requirements. You must believe, and then you can be baptized. So immediately after the eunuch believed, he was baptized. Another question that might come up about baptism is how. How should you be baptized? And there's different, multiple denominations have different views on how you should be baptized, whether it's by sprinkling or being immersed. But we here at Cornerstone believe that immersion is the proper way of baptism. It's the most biblical way of baptism. You see throughout Scripture that everyone that's baptized in the New Testament was baptized by immersion. So that's one reason why we believe that. Jesus was baptized by immersion. You see in the verses that we read earlier that it says when he came up out of the water, which means he had to go into the water to come out of the water. We just read in Acts 8 where the eunuch, it says they both went into the water and were baptized. So we see in Scripture that is the most scriptural way of baptism is through immersion. It's also a better representation of the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus, right? And our symbolic death, resurrection. So if Christ is buried, he's in the water, he didn't stay there long, he comes back, we come back, we're resurrected just as Jesus was, we're washed clean through his death and resurrection. The word for baptism actually is baptizo, which means to be immersed, to be dunked, to be put under. So we see, and that's the main reason why Cornerstone believes in baptism by immersion, is because that's the most prominent way that we see it in Scripture. The last question that I'll try to answer is, where should I be baptized? So this is one of those things I remember several years ago before we started coming to Cornerstone, and before I was a lot less mature in my faith, and I guess I saw the picture on Facebook or something that Cornerstone had a baptism in. I think it was the very first baptism that Cornerstone did was in the pool at the rec center. And I'm like, that's kind of weird. Like, why would you have a baptism in a pool? But now, as I've grown in my faith and I've learned, the vessel and the water is not important, right? It doesn't matter if it's the river, if it's a creek somewhere, if it's our holy hot tub that we have, the little blow-up hot tub we've had up here before. A few years back, we actually had a service in Felts Park, and we had a baptism in a watering trough. It was a big galvanized tub. I don't know if y'all remember that, but it was just something to hold water. It doesn't matter what it is. It's not about the water. The water is not saving us. It's the ceremony is not saving us or washing us clean. It's just a symbol of what's happened. It's just the picture, an illustration of what's happened internally. So the water is not important. The vessel is not important. The location is not important. It doesn't make your baptism any different if you were baptized in a pool or in a river or in the Jordan River. It's all the same. It's just symbolic of what's happened in our life. So I said the first service that we had 15 minutes left. Hey, about the same. So we got about 15 minutes left. So we're just going to stall for a few minutes. Okay. No, I'm kidding. Band's going to come on back up. They're going to lead us in a song of worship as we close. As they do that, there's plenty of opportunities, different ways you can respond. If you've never been here, and you'll see people kind of getting up and coming up front. They're coming up to take communion. If you're a believer and you want to partake in communion this morning, we encourage you to do that. You can respond in that way. You can come up to the cross. You can write out your prayer request. There's a box there with cards. You can write out any prayer requests you might have. You can stay in your seat. Just reflect on what Christ has done. You can stand and sing. Whatever you feel led to do, however you feel led to respond, I encourage you to do that this morning. But I do want to invite you, if you've not put your faith in Christ, if you're here this morning and you haven't put your faith in Christ, you've not turned to Him and asked for forgiveness, now's a perfect time to do that, to reach out to Him, to ask Him to save you, to repent of your sins. If you're considering baptism, come back, talk to me. We'll get you set up. We'll let you know when we're going to have that done. Make sure that you understand what it means to be baptized. Hopefully, through what I've said this morning, you've got a better understanding. And I also want to challenge anybody who is who's already a believer, who may have kind of veered off the path a little bit. Now's the perfect time to recommit. If you've been baptized and maybe you're not necessarily living like it, I want to challenge you to do that, to turn back to God and to follow Him. So let's go ahead and we'll go to the Lord in prayer, and then they'll lead us in a song as we close. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for just allowing us to be here this morning to look at your word, Lord, and to hopefully learn more about what it means to follow you and to learn about baptism. Lord, we pray that you just be with us as we leave this place, Lord, that you would help us to have the strength and the boldness to go and make disciples and baptize them, Lord. We pray as we sing this last song that if anyone's here that doesn't know you, Lord, that they would take the opportunity to just call out to you, Lord, to pray and ask you to come into their life, Lord, to, as we read through the scripture, Lord, that if they just call on you, that they'll be saved. We pray that you just help us, Lord, again, to be bold, to make disciples when we leave here, to share your love with those around us, Lord, and to baptize them and just call them to follow you, Lord. We ask all this in Jesus' name.